let my love grow cold. I'm calling out, light the fire again. Don't let my vision die. I'm calling out, light the fire again. You know my heart, my deeds. I'm calling out, light the fire again. I need your discipline. I'm calling out, light the fire again. I am here to buy gold, refined in the fire. Naked and poor, wretched and blind I come. Clothe me in white, so I won't be ashamed. Lord, light the fire again. Don't let my love grow cold. I'm calling out, light the fire again. Don't let my vision die. I'm calling out, light the fire again. You know my heart, my deeds. I'm calling out, light the fire again. I need your discipline.
Calling out,
light the fire again. And I am here to buy gold, refined in the fire. Naked and poor, wretched and blind I come. Clothe me in white, so I won't be ashamed. Lord, light the fire again. Lord, light the fire again. Lord, light the fire again.
Amen.
How beautiful the hands that serve, the wine and the bread, and the sons of the earth. How beautiful the feet that walked the long dusty road, and the hill to the cross. How beautiful. How beautiful. How beautiful is the body of Christ. How beautiful the heart that bled, that took all my sin and bore it instead. How beautiful the tender eyes that chose to forgive and never despise. How beautiful. How beautiful. How beautiful is the body of Christ as we lay down his life. We offer this sacrifice that we will live just as he died, willing to pay the price, willing to pay the price. How beautiful the radiant bride who walked for her groom with his light in her eyes. How beautiful when humble hearts give the fruit of pure life so that others may live. How beautiful. How beautiful. How beautiful is the body of Christ. How beautiful the feet that bring the sound of good news and the love of the King. How beautiful the hands that serve the wine and the bread and the sons of the earth. How beautiful. How beautiful. How beautiful is the body of Christ. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated.
Great singing. If you have your Bibles today and you want to follow along, if not, it'll be up here. We're going to be looking at 1 Samuel 15 together. I want to ask a question right up front, okay? And this demands your honesty. You can answer this out loud if you wish, or if you don't want to, that's fine too. But here's the question. How many of us have ever stretched the truth? Okay? You know what I mean by that. All right? Now listen, okay? Biblically speaking, stretching the truth is lying. All right? We've all been guilty of it. I'm not pointing fingers here, but I want to give you an example. This comes from a real incident, by the way. In Denver Seminary years ago, there was a student who had a tough exam coming up, and he was more a procrastinator, okay? Nobody here is a procrastinator, right? So when it came time for the exam the night before, he was either pull an all-nighter or come up with some excuse. So what he did was he went home and took out a TV dinner from his freezer, like this one, laid on his bed, and he threw it up. So he called his professor. This is a true story. He called his professor and said, I can't take the exam tomorrow. I'm sick. I just threw up dinner. This guy was so convicted about it that he ended up writing an article for the school journal to say how important it is to be honest before God. Does that make sense? All right. So, I mean, we can bend the truth, twist it. We can do a whole lot of stuff with it. But when we do that, it's no longer the truth, no matter what we think. Correct? Well, let me just go on to say this also. When we speak the truth, we need to speak the truth in love. That's what Jesus says, correct? We speak it in love. Warren Wiersbe once said this, and I really latched onto it. I like it. He said, truth without love is brutality. Okay. Love without truth is hypocrisy. You understand where he's coming from. So we need to speak truth in love. Samuel tried to teach Saul many times the things of the Lord. First of all, he tried to point Saul to the grace of God. Now, God, in all his grace and love, gave Saul so many instances to get on the right track. But he failed every test, kept failing every test, to the point where Saul and his ego finally took over. And when he failed the test, he started twisting the truth. He started making excuses. He started to rationalize. Sound familiar? Almost sounds like a politician. He was king. He was king. Would you look at this with me? I want to bring you through this because there's some great things, insights that we can learn here this morning. Let me bring you through this. Samuel, the priest, the prophet, the judge, said to Saul, "I am the one the Lord sent to anoint you king over his people Israel. So now listen." Should underline that. "Now listen to the message from the Lord. This is what the Lord God Almighty says. I will punish the Amalekites for what they did to Israel when they waylaid them as they came up from Egypt." If you go back into Genesis, you'll find this account where the Amalekites were ruthless on the Hebrews as they came out of slavery. And God said to the Amalekites, if they don't repent, there's going to be a price to pay. Well, now the time has come. And so, says, "Now go and attack." I want you to listen to these words carefully. "Now go and attack the Amalekites and totally destroy all that belongs to them." Now, sometimes people come to the Old Testament and say, well, we have, you know, God of the Old Testament is different than the God of the New Testament. You know, this is, seems to be cruel and unusual punishment. That's not true. God is the same. He was the same before, he's the same now, and he's always the same that he will be. He gave the Amalekites, just like he gave Saul, many chances. But, you know, God runs out of patience sometimes. Here was the order to the king of Israel, Saul. "Destroy all that belongs to them. Do not spare them. Put to death men and women, children, infants, cattle, sheep, camels, and donkeys." I mean, this is pretty vast here, right? So Saul summoned the men and mustered them up at Telaim, 200,000 foot soldiers and 10,000 from Judah. Saul went to the city of Amalek and set out the ambush in a ravine. So initially, again, as Saul always does, he starts okay. He's doing what God has asked him to do so far. Look how it progresses. Then he said to the Kenites. The Kenites were a small tribe, by the way, that were very friendly to Israel in the middle of the Amalekite persecution. He says, "Go leave the Amalekites so that I do not destroy you along with them. For you showed kindness to all of the Israelites when they came up out of Egypt." So the Kenites moved away from the Amalekites. And Saul's okay so far, right? And Saul attacked the Amalekites all the way from Havilah to Shur near the eastern border of Egypt. He took Agag, king, the king of the Amalekites, alive. And all his people were totally destroyed with the sword. But Saul and the army spared Agag and the best of the sheep and the cattle, the fatted calves and the lambs. Everything was that was good. These they were unwilling to destroy completely, but everything was despised, and the weak they totally destroyed. What's wrong with the picture here? And what did God say? Do we ever come to the Word of God and hear what He has to say, and we say, I like this, but I'm not going to do this? Do we do that? Do we do it? This is exactly what Saul is doing here. And this has very serious consequences. It has serious consequences because Saul disobeyed the direct word and command of God. Serious consequences. Sometimes, listen, we've all been guilty of this. Sometimes we come to the scriptures and we almost come like to a, you know, to a menu. You have column A and column B. You can choose one from column A. Choose one. We treat the scriptures like that. I like this, but I don't like this. I don't like this, but I like this. In the American church, in the evangelical American church, we are so inundated with being consumeristic. We would actually, without knowing it, think we have the right to do this. Oh, God, I love your mama and daddy. Well, you don't know my daddy. Yeah, God says, yeah, I knew him. Right? Love your enemy? Oh, Lord, you don't know my enemy. Yeah, he does. Let me go a little bit more basic. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. Love isn't just a fancy word. You know, those of you who have been married or are married know that it's easy to tell somebody that you love them. It's quite a different thing to show them. Isn't that right? I mean, you know, words are important, but they could be cheap. To love somebody means you're going to do what's best for them. To love somebody means you're going to put that into action. Love the Lord, your God, with the whole person, not just your mind, not just your heart, but with your will, your strength, your actions, the whole person. Well, what does that mean? Well, if you love somebody, we're going to do what pleases them. True? True? At least that ought to be true. Now, hey, we all fail. We all fail, and that's what confession's for. But what will we pick and choose? Let me give you another commandment. And these apply to all of us, okay? Go into your world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them all that I have taught you. That's what Jesus said. That was a direct order to the apostles and to the church. By the way, the Great Commission's repeated in the book of Acts. It's repeated. The Great Commission actually started with Israel, but we don't have time to explore that today. So, what do we do? We hire a pastor, and we say that's his job, right? Or we hire an assistant pastor of outreach. That's his job. Or we leave that for Franklin Graham or Louis Giglio or Louis Palau. We leave it for those people. That's their job. No, if I'm reading the Bible correctly, it's our job. It's our job. It is our job not to steal. It's our responsibility, not to lie, not to covet your neighbor's stuff, not to covet your neighbor's wife. You know where I'm going with this, right? But man, we're such good excuse makers, right? When we choose to ignore part of God's word, we're going to be on dangerous ground. We will be on dangerous ground. We've all been there. Why don't you look what happens next? Then the word of the Lord came to Samuel. Listen to this. This is God talking. I regret that I made Saul king because he has turned away from me and has not carried out my instructions. Whoa. Hard words. Samuel was angry and he cried out to the Lord all night. Early in the morning, Saul got up and went to meet, Samuel got up to meet Saul, but he was told, Saul has gone to Carmel. There he has set up a monument in honor of what? Himself. And has turned and gone down to Gilgal. Here he is. He's in blatant disobedience to God. And his pride and his ego say, look, I got to make myself look good here. Right? And he builds this monument of him. Oh. Saul had a problem. Has had many problems. One of his problems was his pride, you see. He was willing to do something that maybe we were guilty of sometimes. Sometimes he's willing to make what I call a superficial confession. You know what superficial means? I mean, shallow? Okay? Superficial confession. And that is, I'll confess to a point, but I still got to make myself look good. Still got to make myself, and this is what's going on here. Look at how this goes. When Samuel reached him, Saul said, the Lord bless you. And at this point, I'm reading this and preparing him. I'm saying, what a phony. You know, this is the height of a hypocritical behavior here. He says, I have carried out the Lord's instructions. But Samuel said, what is this bleating from sheep in my ears? What is the lowing of the cattle I hear? Samuel knew what was going on. Listen, our disobedience will always find us out. You may get away with it for a while. I may get away with it for a while. But our disobedience to God will always and somehow find us out in ways that we would never expect. Yeah, I've used this example several times. When Joey was young, and I was driving on a parkway, from the back seat, he'd look at my speedometer and say, hey, Dad, should you be going that fast? When he got a little bit older, we'd be watching television, and we'd say, hey, Dad, maybe you shouldn't be watching this. God has a way of letting our sin be found out. Well, he continues. Enough, Samuel said to Saul. Let me tell you what the Lord said to me last night. Tell me, Saul replied. Samuel said, although you were once small in your own eyes, did you not become the head of the tribes of Israel? The Lord anointed you king over Israel, and he sent you on a mission saying, go and completely destroy those wicked people, the Amalekites, wage war against them until you have wiped them out. Why did you not obey the Lord? It's a pretty simple question, right? Why did you pounce on the plunder and do evil in the eyes of the Lord? Whenever there's a but, here comes an excuse, right? But I did obey the Lord, Saul said. I went on the mission the Lord assigned me. That was in his mind, good enough. I completely destroyed the Amalekites. In his mind, that was good enough. And brought back Agag, the king. Well, the soldiers took the sheep and the cattle from the plunder, the best of what was devoted to God, in order, and here's the excuse making, in order to do what? Sacrifice them to the Lord your God. I got to make this look religious if I'm going to save myself here. Right? We did it with the best motives. We did it with good motives. If we do something even with good motives and we disobey the word of God, it's still sin. It is still sin. So, look what happens here. But Samuel replied, does the Lord, listen, these are the key verses of this passage. Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? Did you catch that? Let me put a paraphrase for you. Does the Lord delight in religion as much as he delights in obeying him? Then he asks it, he states it in another way. To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. Whoa. Listen, God knows that we will mess up. We're sinners saved by grace. He knows we're going to mess up. What he doesn't want us to do is make excuses for messing up. He doesn't want us to make excuses. When I say messing up, I'm talking about to his known will, to his revealed will in the Word of God. He wants us to come with contrite hearts. What does contrite mean? Does anybody know? Excuse me? Humble. What else? Broken. Some sorrow, knowing that we offended God, and come to him and say, Lord, I blew it. I hurt you. I hurt myself. I hurt some others. I confess it. I'll make restitution where I'm able to. Forgive me, Lord. That's what true confession looks like. And it's to go out there now, because you've had a change of heart, and lovingly obey Christ. Now, what do we do if we have some sin that's kind of habitual? Some sin that is what the old theologians would call besetting sins, okay? Well, an old pastor I knew who discipled me, he's old now, I can say that of him, said this to me. I don't care how many times you sin, you keep confessing it. You keep confessing it. And he says, you know what's going to happen? You're going to get tired of hearing yourself confess it. And that's when God will know you're ready to do business with him. And he'll give you victory over that sin. That's pretty good advice. To obey is better than sacrifice. To heed is better. For rebellion is like the sin of divination. These are strong words. What is divination? Does anybody want to tell me? Witchcraft? Okay. This is getting into the nitty-gritty of this. Rebellion is the sin of divination. If this was translated, which it is, and in the New Testament it's repeated, the word for divination is pharmakia. Does that sound familiar? It's where we get the word pharmacy from. The roots of the word pharmacy, and this is not to say pharmacy is a bad, believe me, but the root of the word pharmacy is witchcraft. It's witchcraft. For rebellion is like the sin of divination, and arrogance like the evil of what? Idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. Idolatry. Idolatry doesn't just mean worshiping statues. Idolatry means that you are worshiping, in some cases, it could be a good thing, a thing or a person, and putting them above God, and putting them above God's word. And that's exactly what Saul did here. You know what he did? He put his reputation above God. He put his pride above God. He put his ego above God. Then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned. I violated, listen to this. You want to see the epitome of a superficial confession? Here it is. I have violated the Lord's command and your instructions. Here's the excuse. I was afraid of the men, so I gave in to them. He didn't say I was afraid of God. He said I was afraid of the men. Now I beg you, forgive my sin and come back with me so that I may worship the Lord. He wanted to keep making himself look good in front of the people. Saul cared more about what the people thought than what God thought. Have you ever been there? But Samuel said to him, I will not go back with you. You have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you as king over Israel. As Samuel turned to leave, Saul caught hold of the hem of his robe and tore it. Samuel said to him, the Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today and has given it to one of your neighbors, to one better than you. It's paving the way for David here, by the way. He who is the glory of Israel does not lie or change his mind, for he is not a human being that he should change his mind. Saul replied again, I have sinned. But look at this. Please honor me before the elders of my people, before Israel. Come back with me so that I may worship the Lord your God. Oof. So Samuel went back with Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. And then Samuel said, bring me the king of the Amalekites. Agag came to him in chains and he thought, surely the bitterness of death is past. But Samuel said, as your sword has made women and women childless, so will your mother be childless among women. And Samuel put Agag to death before the Lord at Gilgal. And then Samuel left for Ramah, but Saul went up to his home in Gibeah. Until the day Samuel died, he did not see Saul again. How sad. Though Saul mourned for him, Samuel mourned for him, and the Lord regretted that he had made Saul king over Israel. Whoa. And so the question I want to ask today is this. You and I, how are we doing in the area of lovingly obeying God, His Word, Christ? How are we doing? Are we picking and choosing? Are we letting the Word of God direct our steps? Are we letting the Spirit of God give us the desire to direct our steps and be obedient to God? Or do we pick and choose what we want to obey or not obey from scriptures? Are our confessions just words without repentance? Listen. If, and I'm going to say this gently, we have so much thrown at us by our culture these days that more and more a Christ follower is the odd one out. True? Let me ask it this way. Are you willing to be the odd one out? Am I willing to be the odd one out? Am I willing to be humble enough to say, Lord, forgive me, because I've been guilty of doing exactly what Saul did here. I have no problem obeying, being nice to people who are nice to me. But Lord, I really have a problem with treating my enemy the way you want me to treat them. Lord, I have a problem with worshiping things and these idols creep into my life, but you know what, Lord, truth be known, I like them. Are we honest enough to say that to the Lord and say, Lord, help me. Help me break that attachment. Help me follow you. Are we willing to understand that the great commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and might, that God means exactly what he says. And love your neighbor as yourself. Are we willing to say, okay, Lord, I'm on board with that. Help me obey it. Are we willing to say, Lord, help me go from this place and make disciples of others who need to know Christ, who are willing to know Christ, teaching them all that you have taught them, and baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Are we willing? Those are only questions that you and I could answer. But I will tell you this. Years ago, and Bill, I'm sorry I didn't think of this before today. There was it's an old hymn. Well, it's not that old. It's one of the newer old hymns, if I could put it that way. It's called Trust and Obey. Remember that? Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be what? Happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. Lord, let that ring in our hearts today. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to ask Bill and Kristen to come up. I'm going to ask you to stand. And after we do this next song, I have something I have to share with you.
Okay. Okay, Sharon's not playing this song because I gave her the wrong song. So her song is at home. So it seems like there's like four songs that have this title or something like that. Anyway, so you guys are just going to sing louder, right? Okay. We're around the campfire. What's more, Sharon? Who you say I am, okay? We can't hide from God, folks. You know, we think we can. You know, me too. You know, but the good news is we're children of the living God. Amen? Amen. Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Yes, his love for me. Whom the sun sets free. Oh, he's free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. Okay. Free at last, he has ransomed me, and his grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, he died for me. Whom the sun sets free, oh, he's free indeed. I'm a child of God, yes I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me, amen. I'm a child of God, yes I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. I am who you say I am. Whom the sun sets free, I is free indeed. I'm a child of God, yes I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God, yes I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. Oh, I am who you say I am. Yes, I say you say I am. Yeah. Oh, the Son sets free. Oh, He's free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. Thank you, Lord. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
Amen.